episode 41, 41 weeks of Paul and various co-hosts, mostly Paul, bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are talking about each and every week. One thing, real quick, I wanted to...
Real quick, I wanted to
comment to Athman, because he was commented on our message boards, on our forums, and he was very, very upset that we did not do as he requested and interview Beth Massey. I think he actually thumbed down our episode for it, which is a big no-no. No. Don't ever do that. And I just want you to know that we are personally hardcore working on getting Beth Massey on the show to please Athman.
Okay.
Okay.
And what are we doing about our folks in Australia that can't... Our
devs are working on this as well. We realize there have been a couple issues as of late, but trust that they will all be resolved quickly in the new year. Speaking of the new year, if you like that segue.
Oh, that was nice.
At the end of the year, a lot of shows and various publications always like to do best of the year, best of this. So this episode of Ping, we are going to dedicate to the top 10 stories of Microsoft this year.
2009, top Microsoft.
You know, last night, you didn't watch because Paul doesn't have television.
I don't. I have a television, I just don't have television.
Well, Barbara Walters did the special, her top 10 most fascinating people of 2009.
Oh, geez.
I was number 7. No, I was number 11, so I wasn't, they didn't air my segment. But actually, Michelle Obama, the number one most interesting people, not even women.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's people now, huh?
Yeah, so,
I don't know. She's just a person.
But I'd love to hear what you guys think. Who are the most interesting people of 2009?
I think he's brilliant.
Let's just start the show.
All right, so 2009 was a pretty big year for Microsoft. A lot of stuff went on, and there have been many lists out there of the top stories, and we've compiled a list of a few of our favorites.
That's right.
So the number one thing that I think is on the top of Microsoft's list is that Windows 7 smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing, I would say home run.
Yep. Grand slam.
Yeah, I would say that. Hat trick.
Yep. That's for our Canadian viewers out there.
Yeah, great operating system, great reviews, lots of praise from the press.
Yep.
Users love it.
Yep, there was one article that actually compared Windows 7 to a Rolls Royce.
Really?
Yep.
I was going to say Bentley.
Yeah, Rolls Royce, I mean, very, very high end, but to me that sounds like rich white guys only are getting like the Rolls
Royce.
Yeah,
and Windows 7 is for everyone.
Yeah, so
for everyone.
If they should compare it to anything, it should probably be like... BMW, because 90% of the people are like, oh, BMWs are nice, and
that's
another
right.
5% that are like, Mercedes are better.
Mercedes are better. But interesting, though, so Windows 7 comes out, it's amazing, everyone loves it. Already, there are articles and message boards and posts, and people wondering, well, what's going to be Windows 8? It's like, you just can't sit back and be satisfied for just a minute and enjoy all these Windows 7 they're already questioning about.
Windows 8 is coming, and I can't wait.
Let's move to the next story.
Okay.
All right, another sort of a first for Microsoft that happened this year. This one, not such a good thing, is we had some major rounds of layoffs. A lot of people's jobs got cut, and this is a big deal for Microsoft.
It's a tough time economically speaking, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, with a company the size of Microsoft, which is 90 to 100,000 people, cutting the bottom 5 to 7% of the company, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Like Jack Welch and GE always lopped off the bottom 10% annually.
Right.
And keep the company lean and mean.
I don't think the people who got laid off would agree with you.
Sure.
And that would be.
I mean, sometimes it's a tough pill to swallow. But
and, you know, the point is, though, is that this is something that we've never had to do before.
Right.
So it's a telling sign of the times and, you know, made the news.
Yeah, it did.
So.
But, Microsoft's lean, we're mean, we're done with all of our massive layoffs, and now we're just going to be fiscally responsible going forward and prudent.
You're so cool.
So Microsoft is hot on VMware's heels with Windows Server 2008 R2. We have a lot of great virtualization technologies. So much so there are customer case studies that say by using Microsoft's virtualization technologies that customers have been able to save $325,000 per year.
That's a lot.
Yep. These are obviously large companies that need to consolidate their hardware and software into data centers and save on electricity and stuff like that. But the nice thing about Microsoft's virtualization stack is that it's essentially built into the licensing schemes that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas VMware, you have to buy extra infrastructure and extra licensing for a huge premium. And now Microsoft's pretty much caught up to the 80-90% race with our virtualization. So watch out, VMware. We're coming for you.
All right. That was big.
Yeah.
Huh? Beg your pardon?
Next big thing that happened in Microsoft this year, and obviously it was the predominant story coming out of PVC, is, of course, cloud computing.
Huge.
Windows, Azure, and everything moving into the cloud.
Yeah. Windows Azure is huge. There's also been some press announcements about reorgs that have happened to mm-hmm. bring Windows Azure into our server and tools business underneath Bob Muglia.
Yeah.
Bob Muglia is a great guy. He's actually a University of Michigan alumnus just like me. So I have to approve of the guy. Plus, he was my skip level boss
for
all of like 2 weeks.
There you go. He seems to have moved on, and yet you
are still... Well, this is earlier this year. My incubation project was like one of his pet projects. So
there you go. Anyway, cloud computing, the future, although I have talked to a lot of people who have their doubts and seem to be skeptical, but I think we move forward with this, that those doubts are slowly being washed away.
But even if not, like Microsoft is in a great position because we have both like the future of cloud computing plus the today of... having the on-premise server products mm-hmm. that people can just use right now in their own data centers exactly how they want to. So if they're all like saying cloud computing is a thing of the future or nothing that they're interested in,
they're scared.
They have their reservations. They can still buy our software and start developing their applications on our platform. And then should they become ready to go to the cloud, mm-hmm. we're the only company that allows that transition from. The same platform and on-premise server products as well as cloud computing.
Good year for us.
Yes. All right, so maybe it wasn't a complete great year for us.
Well, these are just big stories, not necessarily all good.
Yep. Yeah. So Windows Mobile kind of had a bit of a tough year with iPhone 3GS being put out there and Droid coming out from the Google platform. And
right. Well, we did release 6.5, which
did.
I thought was leaps and bounds ahead of 6.1, but not enough.
Right. It's we're pretty much like fourth or fifth now in the mobile phone race, but we do have a lot of things in store for Windows Mobile 7, and I really hope we do more than just play catch up. So whenever that comes out, I'm anxiously looking forward to
it. We hope it makes our big stories of 2010
yes.
on the positives.
That'd be good. Lots of these.
All right. One of our biggest competitors has had this for a while, and now Microsoft has finally has their own store. We've entered the retail space. One of our very, very early episodes, I think, while Max was here, we talked about there was sort of a prototype virtual Microsoft retail store, and now it exists, and you can go shopping and buy Microsoft products, and you also might bust out in the electric slide.
I might.
You never know what's going to happen.
I'm pretty sure I'll never bust out the electric slide.
I can't hold you to that, Paul.
Except for maybe at a wedding, and I've had a few too many wine spritzers.
All right, another big release from Microsoft is Bing. We pushed this hard. There's tons of marketing and ad campaigns surrounding it, as Bing touted as the decision engine. Recently announced was Bing Maps. New additions to Bing Maps and new functionalities. And I personally, I'm not going to lie, I was a Google head.
Yeah, a Google head.
And I find that Bing is far above and beyond a better engine for certain things, such as travel.
Yeah.
I think the Bing travel section is great. I like the shopping section, obviously.
two things I know that you're a pro at.
So. I am. Bing Maps is really, really great. So this has been a huge success for Microsoft as a whole this year.
Yeah, and even the industry as a whole is starting to take note because Microsoft's Bing was the first search engine to have 5 consecutive months of growth
mm-hmm.
since Google was released many years ago. So,
which is great. I mean, it's sort of like attacking the colossal giant that
yep.
we never thought was, anything could ever come close. Yep. So I think it's huge. And it's being, I listen to Jackie and Bender in the morning, and they're that's on 106.1 Kiss, and they're constantly talking about Bing. They're on Jimmy Fallon Bing integration.
Yep.
I mean, the push out there to get you know, the people talking and thinking about being a search engine has been massive.
Yeah.
And successful.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice for Microsoft to get back to its roots of being the underdog and trying to overcome the incumbent.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to 2010 and seeing if we can keep up this pace. So this was a big year for Microsoft, all over the ad campaigns, mm-hmm. all over television, mass media, and actually being able to push back against the pretty much the arch rival of Apple, where they were always just with their "I'm a Mac" campaign, just really eroding the
Taking a beating, and we finally punched back. I think the year started off a little slow with the much controversial, shall we say, Seinfeld ads.
Yep.
Not really sure what we were doing there. But then we came back with the Laptop Hunter ads, and
the I'm a PC campaign.
The I'm a PC campaign. We moved on with the Kylie ads. I don't really like the Kylie ads. But the point is that we made a big strike back towards Apple, and they were hurt, and they actually asked us to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, they reduced their price down to be like $1 below $1,000,
right,
so that we'd be like technically inaccurate. And we're like, we're going to keep doing the ads anyway. So, but it was definitely a great year that there's a lot of emotional attachment that's coming back into Microsoft and the Windows brand. And I'm definitely a big fan of Windows 7. So
yeah,
I like
to see the fight.
All right, one of the last big things that we'll be mentioning in this episode for 2009 is that Microsoft has had an interesting relationship with netbooks. Mm-hmm. The sales have just been soaring through the roof with netbooks, but the problem that Microsoft has is that we get far less revenue per unit than we would for, let's say, like the home premium version or the enterprise edition
Windows 7.
Yeah.
So...
Well, the interesting things about this is that Microsoft has tried a number of different things with Windows 7 Starter Edition, where you could only run three different applications on netbooks. Like, Microsoft has been trying to find ways to essentially keep Windows very cheap, but also have limitations in it so that there's incentive to buy a more premium edition of Windows. So. Steve Ballmer always says that, you know, this is a very important segment to us. We're happy with, you know, increasing our unit share, but there's always that underlying thing about, you know, how can we make sure not to erode like a $15 billion business, which is Windows.
But, you know, for your basic needs, if you really just want to go online and browse the internet, maybe check some email, a netbook is great, and the simple version of Windows 7 is, you know, ample for what you want to do.
Yeah.
All right, last week we mentioned Project Natal. Obviously, it's being critically acclaimed, and it won an award. I think it was one of the top inventions of the year. So how could it not make our list of biggest stories of the year? Even it's not even out yet, we know that, but still, I think the anticipation is the big story.
And when
it does hit, obviously, it's going to be a huge.
Yeah, I think the big story here is actually your initial skepticism of like, oh, it's just an iToy 10 years later.
I've already eaten those words in a previous episode, but if you want to embarrass me more...
I think that's the big story of 2009.
I was wrong. For once. Won't happen again. All right, so there you have it. Those are the biggest stories, in our opinion. Which is the only opinion that matters, that happened in Microsoft this year. And before we go, I just wanted to call out to the message boards. I found a thread by SharePoint Guy, which apparently he calls out a trick that you can do, the old Contra code.
Contra, or the Konami code, actually.
The video game is called Contra. Konami,
right.
The publisher.
Right, and they put that code into multiple games, not just Contra.
It's widely known as the Contra code.
Weren't you on G4 talking
it's
about video games?
It's the Contra code. If I ask someone what's the Konami code, no one's going to know what it is.
Okay, I think the Niners The Niners need to feed into the comments whether it should be called the Contra code or
it's
the Konami
code.
It's the Konami code.
I'm gonna Bing what the Konami code's
I'm gonna do it.
Not right now, because we don't have time.
Oh, really? Because it takes all of like... Oh, look, Konami, Bing suggestions, Konami code,
because
suggestion
just put it in
number
there.
One. Boom.
You just put it in there.
Boom. Anyway, the code for all of you out there. Do you not know the code? You don't even know the code by heart.
Yes, I do.
What is
it? Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A... Enter. Anyway, if you put this code into Facebook and then hit right-click your button, you get a special Easter egg. The story has now dissolved into just Paul gloating.
Yeah.
It's not even fun anymore.
I think this was originally like an April Fool's Day addition to Facebook. So it happened many, many months ago. But I'm glad that people are still out there finding it for the first time. It's always fun to find things in software applications.
Especially when it's the contra code. That's right! Bye!
Konami code, Wikipedia. Ah!